to minister. Amen. Praise the Lord. We were wondering if that was a Chinese restaurant that the lady was in, because she only had those two sticks. You know. All right. We're going to continue with the fruit. We started this series, my goodness, before the end of the year. And so we're going to try to gain some ground here and move along. Meekness is the fruit of the Spirit that we want to focus on tonight. Meekness. Now, Matthew 11:29 is the passage that came to mind. Only two people in the Bible are called meek. Only two. Moses, and the interesting thing about that is he's the one who wrote that. Moses, the meekest man on the earth. He's writing about himself. But if the Lord told him to, that's what you got to do. The other one is contained here in Matthew 11:29. The Lord declares, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Yes. He declared himself to be meek. Those are the only two who were identified in Scripture as being meek. But now, did you notice, we've probably read this passage again and again and again, but it just hit me as I was reading this and going over it, that this is an I am of Christ. I am. And generally, usually, we associate I am with incredible power, with amazing strength, with marvelous and miraculous provision. I am in the burning bush. And all that would accompany the I am statements in the Scripture. And it almost seems incongruent here. I am meek. What do you think about that? Generally power, generally wonder, marvelous, magnificent, majestic, and we run out of adjectives trying to describe all of the power of the I am. And yet he says, I am meek. Then I realized that has to be. Otherwise, Isaiah 53 could not have been a prophetic utterance that would come to fulfillment if he wasn't meek. And in particular, you look at verse 7 of Isaiah 53. No wonder the Ethiopian riding in his chariot and Philip being directed in the desert to go and inquire at him. You understand what you're reading? How can I, except some man guide me? It just didn't make sense to him. And the passage that he read, he was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. Here it is again. So he openeth not his mouth. And oh my, had he opened his mouth and commanded those angels. Had he used the sword that is going to be revealed in Revelation to destroy Satan and all of his minions. Oh my, there would have been a different story, right? Yes. But he's meek. Yes. And thank God he willingly allowed himself to fulfill what this verse of Scripture says. Amen. Now, Moses and Jesus being meek, but they were far, far from weak.
Amen.
Meek, but not weak.
Amen.
Strong, masculine, and demonstrating leadership. So that must render a different definition for gentleness. Gentleness is how other versions render meekness, gentleness. It means strength under control. Strength under control. That's what meekness is, as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit of meekness. So, strength under control. That brings a question. How do you respond to demanding situations? Situations that bring a stress and a tension and, bite your tongue kind of situation. How do you react? Now, a response is different than a reaction. A response is cognitive. It's choice. It's what you're thinking. It's what you're acting upon based on your thinking processes, and you choose to respond in that way. A reaction is just, I touch a hot stove, hot pan or whatever, and I react. Well, a response is different. That's what we want to look at here as we talk about meekness. You've heard of Beatitudes, the Beatitudes of the Lord, Matthew 5. Here's some ancillary Beatitudes. Not trying to change the Word of God. I'm just trying to put it in a sense where you can grab a hold of it. Be understanding. We'll look at each one of these. Be gracious. Be tender. Be teachable. Be an actor in the sense of being active, not reactive, but I guess proactive. And then be respectful. Okay? That's how we're going to define this aspect of meekness, because there's going to be these reactions or these responses that you have. Okay, so be understanding, not demanding. In our world today, it's who can get to the front of the line, who can grab the bargain off the rack, and shoulder your way, elbow your way up, and get a hold of what you want. No, you understand the situation and you respond with understanding, especially to those who are serving, those who are waiting on you. No, oftentimes they're not the highest paid in the establishment. So the way you treat them is very important. And those who serve, those who wait on you in a restaurant, in the bank, clerks, secretaries, whoever it might be, treat them with understanding, and be the I can remember a place I worked. A woman came in and asked the secretary of the department, of the education department at the university, and asked her for a phone number. Well, she was quite busy, and so she just handed the little post-it note pad, and a pen to her, and was going to have her write it down as she found it in her information. Well, the woman stood at the desk, picked up the pad and the pen, and threw them on the desk, and asked the secretary, who kindly handed it to her as she was trying to find the number and have her write it down. This woman who responded that way threw the pen and the pad down and then asked her, "Where were you raised?" She should have been looking in the mirror. So, the need for understanding and gentleness and meekness at home, in the hearts and lives of wives and mothers, how important. Let's take a look at 1 Peter 3 and 4. 1 Peter 3 and 4, the hidden man of the heart is what Peter is emphasizing here. It's not corruptible. It's an ornament, like a meek and a quiet spirit. And when God sees it, he considers that to be of great price. That's more the exception than the rule in our society, isn't it? The English Standard Version says, let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Great price, very precious. A meek and quiet spirit, a gentle and quiet spirit. Amen. And gentleness at home is the responsibility of husbands and fathers as well. Not just a gruff, you know, boss and demanding and so on. Because in that same passage, that same chapter, verse 7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You know, be intelligent about it. Be smart about it. You know, don't just go blundering along. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Your prayers are connected here. Yeah. Yeah, they sure are. Phillips' translation, I'm going to use a lot of different versions here tonight, just for sake of understanding some of the differences there. Phillips' version of 1 Peter 3 and 7 goes like this. Similarly, you husbands should try to understand the wives you live with, honoring them as physically weaker yet equally heirs with you of the grace of eternal life. If you don't do this, you'll find it impossible to pray properly. I like the straightforwardness of these plain English versions. Amen. So don't be demanding. Be understanding. Okay? Second one, be gracious. Be gracious, not judgmental. This is part of being meek now. Disappointments come. The car doesn't start. The sink is leaking. Different things mechanically, materially, we are disappointed. And sometimes we're disappointed in a person. And that brings their own special kind of disappointment. Galatians 6 and 1. This is in Phillips also, Galatians 6 and 1. Even if a man should be detected in some sin, my brothers, the spiritual ones among you should quietly set him back on the right path, not with any feeling of superiority, but being yourselves on guard against temptation. And Philip has captions, you know, at the, J.B. Phillips has captions at the beginning of passages of Scripture, and the caption that he has before this is, some practical wisdom. Just be practical about it. Just let it be where you need to be. The New International renders Galatians 6 and 1 like this. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. And the New International Version has a title before this verse, Doing Good to All. Doing good to all. Amen. I'm so glad God is good at restoration. I'm glad that doesn't fall completely on us. Otherwise, we'd end up maybe getting halfway. But God is real good at restoration. Praise God. And I'm so thankful. Amen. Do you know that holier than thou is in the Bible? You know that phrase actually is in the Scripture, holier than thou? God doesn't like it. Isaiah 65 and 5. Come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. And the Lord says, these are smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. He just doesn't like it. Doesn't think that that's the right thing. Now, we take a stand against evil, definitely. And sometimes you got to stand by yourself when you're taking a stand against evil. But not in elevating self. See, that's the difference. Not in elevating. Look at me. Look at how I'm standing. Look how strong I am. No, it's the power of the Lord. Amen. Thank God for the Lord and his declaration in John 8. They brought that adulterous woman before the Lord. He's teaching in the temple. I mean, you know, no respect, no propriety, no awareness of the feelings here. They just bring her and thrust her at the Lord, and he's teaching in the temple. This woman, and they make their accusation. Moses said, "What do you say?" That was the trap. She was the bait. They didn't care about her. They're trying to trap the Lord. "What do you say?" The Lord didn't say anything. He stooped down and began to write in the dirt. And we don't know what he wrote. But thank God the outcome was no stoning, no condemnation, sin no more. Amen. Thank the Lord that he knows how to restore. Praise God. Romans 15 and 7. The New Living Translation in Romans 15, 7. "Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory." Now, we're not talking about excusing sin. We're not talking about, you know, just ignoring the wrongdoing. No, the Lord said, sin no more. Say that with me. Sin no more. Change. The Lord's power can bring that change. Praise God. So, this acceptance is the forgiveness that we render to others because the Lord has forgiven us. Put up with others because the Lord has put up with you. That's what it comes down to. Amen. All right? Here's another one. Be tender without surrender. Be tender without surrender. Disagreements, just like disappointments. Disappointments come, disagreements will happen. And you can agree to disagree. It happens a lot in witnessing, telling people about the Lord. They'll challenge you. They don't agree with you, but you can agree to disagree. A test of spiritual maturity is how you handle people who disagree with you. And being tender without surrender is very important. In disagreements, you can retreat, you can react, or you can respond, and respond with gentleness. Amen. There are some who choose peace at any price. Well, that costs relationships. And there's hidden costs that are going to show up. To respond with anger, you might win an argument, but you're sure enough going to lose a friend. So it's, you know, that being tender without surrender. Respecting opinions while maintaining your right to your opinion. That's being tender without surrender. Okay, Proverbs 15 and 1. What kind of answer? A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Gentle, quiet, not arrogant, not loud, but still okay to answer. Now, don't just roll over and play possum, but be gentle. The contrast in wisdom that James writes about in James chapter 3. He talks about wisdom that is not from above. And we might call it devilish wisdom. Well, that's what he calls it. It's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, we know God's not the author of confusion. If there's confusion, it's coming from another source. It's not coming from the Lord. So we don't want to operate in that realm, in that category. Verse 17, goes on with wisdom that's from above, or what we might call divine wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's definitely divine. It's not human. And sometimes it may be not even humanly possible. But with God, with the fruit of the Spirit, then you're operating in a different realm. Now, wisdom, some people are intelligent, but they're obnoxious about it, and they want to impress everybody. But it's better to show the wisdom that's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. Here's how the New Living Translation says, peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Okay? You've heard the phrase, choose your battles. There's some that are not worth getting in a scrap over. In fact, there's a famous general in World War II that you might be familiar with, George Patton. And he said this, never fight a battle when you won't gain anything by winning. Now, he's talking about a battlefield, obviously, but it definitely fits in relationships, doesn't it? Don't fight a battle if you're not going to gain anything by winning. Stroke your ego. Lose someone in the relationship. And your relationship with your spouse is far more important than any point you're trying to prove. Meekness. Gentleness. Drop your need to build your ego and be gentle. Amen. Gentleness is the ability to disagree agreeably. Seeing eye to eye is something we strive for, but you can still walk hand in hand even if you don't see eye to eye. And that's very important. Unity with diversity is still a possibility, and that's what the Lord cherishes, I think, in His church. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 1, you see, there's not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise, but God's chosen the foolish things. God's chosen, God's chosen things that somebody may not have chosen. But praise God, there's a diversity that is unified. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25, this is going to be the Living Bible. The Living Bible, again, very, very plain, very, very straightforward. 2 Timothy 2:24, God's people must not be quarrelsome. They must be gentle, patient teachers of those who are wrong. Be humble when you're trying to teach. We're going to 25. Be humble when you're trying to teach those who are mixed up concerning the truth. For if you talk meekly and courteously to them, they are more likely, with God's help, to turn away from their wrong ideas and believe what is true. Huh. Okay? So, that need to be just recognize, okay, that I'll be gentle. Be teachable. Be teachable, not unreachable. James, very practical. He It's amazing some of the insights that he has. James 1:19. The Phillips translates it this way. Let every man be quick to listen, but slow to use his tongue and slow to lose his temper. You do the first two, then the third's going to follow. Quick to listen, slow to use your tongue, then it follows, you're not going to lose your temper. Two ears, one mouth, good ratio. Now, meek, again, we said, does not mean weak. Jesus and Moses were not weak. But the Lord declares, I am meek and lowly. However, in Matthew 5 and 5, he gives a promise to the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. So this requires lifelong learning, you know, to be teachable, not unreachable. You have to have a teach me attitude and be willing to learn. Remember, Peter said, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Husbands can and should learn from their wives. Try to understand the wives you live with, honoring them. Amen. And wives can learn from their husbands. That be teachable, not unreachable. Not that attitude, are you a man or a mouse? Squeak up. You know that old funny story there. No one knows it all. That's why you got to be teachable. No one knows it all. There are some who act like they do, but oftentimes it doesn't come true. You know, the old sitting in the courtroom, and the bailiff is swearing in the witness. Do you swear or promise to tell the whole truth? And, that whole, it goes through the whole thing there. Tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. The man thought about it for a moment. And if he said, if I knew the whole truth and nothing but the truth, I would be God. You know, it's not a so help me God. I would be God if I knew the truth and nothing but the truth. But it just speaks to the need to learn. Don't be a dumbhead. Learn. Gentleness involves being willing to learn from others. That wasn't very nice, was it? But gentleness means being willing to admit your mistakes. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, not over the pulpit. Huh? How about behind the pulpit? How to be lonely in life? Never read a book like that. But it can be said in one statement. How to be lonely in life? Never admit your mistakes. And then you're going to be by yourself. Some haven't said it in years, and they need to. I was wrong. It was my fault. Got to be willing to learn. James 1:21. Here's James again. Lots of good James stuff. James 1:21. Filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness. What in the world's all of that? Receive with meekness. We got that. The engrafted word, and it's able to save your souls. That's what we're all about here. Save your soul. Here's the Amplified. So get rid of all uncleanness and all that remains of wickedness. And with a humble spirit, receive the word of God, which is implanted and actually rooted in your heart, which is able to save your souls. Praise God. We're on a roll here, so let's go with the Living Bible. Get rid of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside, and humbly be glad for the wonderful message we have received, for it is able to save our souls as it takes hold of our hearts. Praise God. Be teachable, not unreachable. Amen. And then, be active, or an actor, one who acts upon something, not a reactor. Okay, not actor as in the theater, but in initial action, you know, stepping out. When the Lord did not reply to Pilate, it was not because he didn't have anything to say. Oh my, he could have really knocked things topsy-turvy. But he didn't reply to Pilate because he was in control. He had self-control. Amen. Remember our definition, gentleness is strength under control. Amen. Handle hurt without retaliating. That's pretty hard, but that's what the Lord showed. Turn the other cheek. Yep. And the fruit of the Spirit makes that possible. It gives the power to make it happen. Praise God. Don't let someone else have control of your emotions. That self-control is so important. No one can take control from you. But by reacting, you give control away. So, you can see why the apostle listed these nine fruit of the Spirit, because how important they are to demonstrate the Lord living in your life. To retaliate is to react. To forgive is to act. And that's very important. You choose the way you respond. Romans 12:17. Payback is oftentimes what we might wish for or what we might think about. I should have said this, I should have said that, and that sort of thing. Romans 12:17 in the New Living Translation, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Amen. And then in the 21st verse there of Romans 12:21, in the Good News Translation, do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with good. Now, I know we might think, oh, that pie in the sky. That's not how the world operates. No, it's how a Christian operates. It's how a believer is going to show. Amen. Proverbs 16:32. Okay, we're almost done. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So it's the same kind of conquering, but it's so important to be able to demonstrate it in that way. All right, so the last one, be respectful. And when you're witnessing about the Lord, and you're telling folks about the Lord, and there's disagreement and so on, you be respectful, not rejectful. Making sure that you're accepting, not approving, but accepting. 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's where it counts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with what? Meekness and fear. Here's the Amplified. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance elicited by faith that is within you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Amen. Now, I'm convinced that any number of you can teach a Bible study. I'm convinced that you know the scripture well enough. You can go marching downtown with your chart, or you can look it up on sterlingpentecostalchurch.com, and there's the Bible chart, and you can sit down in the coffee shop and start teaching. You know the scripture well enough. But we don't use scripture as a sledgehammer to drive a point into somebody's head. Gentleness and respect make for the right attitude. Somebody said evangelism is defined like this. Evangelism, just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's all. I'm, you know, nothing great. Gentleness is how to avoid emotional burnout. Yeah, you know, just being on edge all the time and stressful and so on. Gentleness will ease that up. And God can help in all relationships, all situations. And I'm thankful that that the Spirit says meekness, gentleness is what is going to be demonstrated as a fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, all that we've been talking about for the last few months here, the fruit of the Spirit, so is evident so that what is positive about serving God, and everything's positive about serving God, amen, all of that becomes obvious in your life. And that's what people are attracted to. And there's so much negative stuff in this world today. You hardly even want to read the newspaper or go to the computer news site. And there's so much negative stuff. But thank God He is positive. Amen. In a negative world, I'm thankful that our God is positive and powerful. And He keeps His promises. And He ministers in a wonderful way. Thank God. Let's stand. God bless you tonight. Thank you so much for being here. I want to be clean. I want to be used of you, O Lord. Praise God. And I'm thankful that is what we can experience in the Lord, because there's a change that the Lord would make in us. And the power that He wants to demonstrate. Thank God. Does fruit of the Spirit come by willpower? Well, you've got to be willing, and He'll show His power. But if you try to do it all by yourself, I'm afraid you're going to fall short. That's why the operation of the Spirit of God, amen. The Spirit of the Lord is awesome. It makes us happy. It makes us excited. It makes us thrilled, but it also makes us real. Real in a lot of situations that would just eat somebody else up. But not you, because you've got the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And the Lord is demonstrating His power through you. Praise God. Let's come and gather to the front here just for a moment. We want to pray and just ask the Lord to minister meekness and gentleness in our lives, so that there's again the proof of what the Lord can do in our lives, in our hearts. Amen. Amen. No wonder John said, "He must increase. He must increase. I must decrease." Praise God. And He made it work. I think you and I can as well. Amen. Let's ask the Lord's help. Thank you, Lord.